but with your identity. Let me explain. Here the phrase led by the Spirit means that we are walking under the domination. We are walking under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. As opposed to walking and being dominated by the law. Back to Romans 8. We're not going to be doing flipping back and forth, but we are for just a couple minutes. Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, keyword, are sons of God. Romans 8, Galatians 5 are similar. I think they're actually saying the same thing. That being led by the Spirit of God is not a prompting, or it is not the Spirit coming and sort of telling us a way to go. This is our identity. This is a statement of who we are. In Galatians, we are no longer under the law, but we are under, or we are led by the Spirit. In Romans, we are no longer debtors to the flesh, but instead we are debtors to God, also known as led by the Spirit. We are sons and daughters of God. We are no longer under the law's condemnation. All believers are led by the Holy Spirit. This is addressing an issue of our identity, who we are. I left Luke for the last. Same phrase, exact same phrase in the original language. But it's saying something different. I've been struggling with this all week, just sort of working through it, actually for the last couple of weeks, because do you have different phrases in the Bible that are in the same testament that kind of have a different nuance to it? Well, it does here. In Luke 3, Jesus has just been baptized in the River Jordan. There are a number of you who are going to Israel with us in April who will see, according to tradition, the very place where this happened. And on that day, the heavens were opened, the voice of God spoke, the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove. A lot of imagery here, a lot of symbolism taking place. So that was the setting, chapter 3, chapter 4, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, or again, under the control of the Holy Spirit, under the leadership and domination of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Oh no, this is something different. This is not an identity statement. This is something in which the Holy Spirit of God is prompting, if I can use that word, guiding. Don, come here a minute. Don't you just love to be singled out like this? Serves you right for sitting so close. All right, just stand there for a second, okay? Now, has this ever happened to you? You're sitting next to Wendy and she does this. Ever?
Okay, she's not here.
So yeah, you be truthful, okay? That was sort of like a little whack, or this is a nudge, sort of like this. You want to get somebody's attention. Thanks, Don. I just wanted to have that visual so people could actually, you can sit down now.
We do that sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time. I think that's how it's used here. It's that nudge. It's that leading. It's that guidance. It's that prompting. Jesus is here. He's always in communion with the Father. The Holy Spirit was his closest companion, and the Spirit of God led him. Notice where it led him? It led him into the wilderness. Matthew's account, chapter 4 of Matthew, says he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So it's not always leading us into prosperity and health and wholeness and wellness and all of those good things. No, it's sometimes when the Spirit leads, it's not into peace. Sometimes it's into battle. But the Spirit of God does prompt. So let me give you a couple of observations on this. Observation number one, which we talked about, Romans 8 and Galatians 5 address our identity. No longer under the flesh, but led by the Spirit. No longer under the law, but led by the Spirit. Sons of God, keeping in step with the Spirit. That's how those two passages work together. And I believe Luke chapter 4 addresses a prompting. God nudging us through his Spirit. I don't know if you've ever experienced it. Here's a great verse for you to meditate on for just a moment this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul says, did I say Corinthians? Thessalonians, sorry. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. He does that? The word there for directs is, excuse me, those guys were messing with me before, or if it was a technical glitch, I'm just going to show you something. I'm going to direct this speaker. Don't worry, I'll redirect. I'm directing the speaker, and that's the word that's used here. I'm going to turn something. So may the Lord, implied here, the Holy Spirit, may the Lord direct or turn or guide or lead your heart. Listen to Jude, chapter 1, not chapter 2. There are no chapter 2s in Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. He was going in one direction. He wanted to give a statement about salvation, and God redirected him. God prompted him. You ever had that happen? Have you ever had the strong sense that God wants you to do something? I want to quickly go through these. Couple things. One is, the first one is, how you know that you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that be kind of good? Again, I've heard people say that they're led by the Holy Spirit to do a whole bunch of things. This is the guideline. We're going to be kind of information heavy this morning. Is that okay? How do you know that you're not being led by the Holy Spirit? Number one, is what you're doing going against God's word? If it is, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. And nothing that the Holy Spirit would prompt or move a person to do would ever go contradictory to the Bible. This church doesn't say amen a whole lot. You missed an opportunity. Because if we are going against the Scriptures, we are not being led by the Holy Spirit. Listen, thank you. Listen to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only by the Spirit. Now listen to this, verse 15. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to human judgments merely. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? He is here quoting Isaiah, and then Paul at the end of that paragraph says, but we have the mind of Christ. What is he saying? That the Spirit of God is going to lead us. No, I'm sorry. The Spirit of God is never going to lead us contrary to God's word, because he teaches it to us. He instructs us in it, and he's the author of it. Number two, we can know that we are not being led by the Holy Spirit if we are living in unrepentant sin. Folks, when we are living in unrepentant sin, we are not walking in step with the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, nor are we led by the Spirit. So if you feel you're being led by the Spirit into something, and yet there is something that you have not dealt with before God, question it seriously. Number three, we know we are not being led by the Holy Spirit if we're unwilling to study the Scripture on a matter. What I mean by that is this. We are being led by the Spirit into a decision, or the Spirit is prompting us to do something that maybe some are challenging us on when it bears on our decision. But we've got our mind made up. And so I really don't want to look honestly at the Scriptures about this. See, folks, when we come to the Scriptures, we need to be people who examine the Scriptures and align our beliefs and our actions with the Scriptures. If we're unwilling to do that, we're not being led by the Spirit. You're going to like this next one. When we counsel shop, some of you are looking at it going, what in the world is he talking about? Listen to Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Great verse, isn't it? But folks, when we are not being led by the Spirit of God, when we only seek the counsel that affirms our own decision. I might go and seek counsel from Phil, or I might go seek counsel from Kevin. But in my heart, in my flesh, in myself, I'm going to go to the one of the two of you who are going to affirm what I'm going to say, or what I want to do, rather. When we counsel shop, this is being self-led, not Spirit-led. Because again, we've got our minds made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Number five. How do we know we are not being led by the Holy Spirit? Hear this. When we ignore the counsel of godly men and women. Our elders have been placed in authority over our church. They've been placed in authority over me. If I ignore their counsel, I am not being led by the Holy Spirit. Ready for this? No matter what my decision is. Now, the key word there is ignore. We can discuss, we can talk things through, but if we just walk away from it, we are not being led by the Holy Spirit. This is pride. This is the flesh. This is ourself. Unwilling to be told by anyone anything. Okay. Oh, I got a couple more things I got to read. Listen to Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 24. This is the wise man speaking to, as it were, his son. Because I called you and you refused to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. This is God now speaking through this wise man. I will also laugh at your calamity. Ouch! That does hurt. Listen to Proverbs 15, 31 to 33. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Don't you love Proverbs? I wish I could have said some of the stuff like that. But whoever ignores instruction despises himself. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself. Ouch. All right, one last way in which we know that we're not being led by the Holy Spirit. I'll let you read it. When we are relying on an inner peace, feelings, some sort of vision of something I've seen or some kind of a impression that I've had as an indicator, we are not being led by the Spirit. Folks, reality check. Our feelings, our emotions. This is going to be profound. Are you sitting down? Our feelings are an unstable indicator of reality. Anybody have a bad day this week? Come on. You're in church. Thank you. Good. All right. Feelings come, feelings go. And they are incredibly deceiving. Did you know that Satan can give peace? There is a way that seems right unto a man. Yeah, this is good. This is really good. We're just trucking forward and everything is good, moving forward. Ah, Proverbs finishes. But the way leads unto death. That's pretty serious stuff. So, six ways in which you know you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. All right, let's move on to the next one. How do we know that we are being led by the Holy Spirit? We need to take just a little bit of a brief detour here. Well, kind of brief. There are some things that we need to address if we want to know that we are being led by the Spirit of God. Ready? You need to stop. That's the first thing you need to do. That's the first thing I need to do if I want to be certain that I am being led by the Spirit of God. Number one, I need to stop. What do I need to stop? I need to stop following a culture that doesn't follow Jesus. John the Apostle put it quite bluntly. He said, "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world." All that is in the world. This is chapter 2, verses 15, 16, and 17. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So if you want to know that you're being led by the Spirit as a gauge, judging your decisions and evaluating your decisions, you need to stop following a culture that doesn't follow Jesus. Number two, you need to stop following friends that don't follow Jesus. Some friends need to be unfriended. Can I just leave it at that? If you're following their pathway, in a lot of cases, you need to just plain stop. Hey, oh, by the way, when I say friends, we often think, oh, isn't that nice? I hope the young people are listening. No. How about acquaintances? Okay, that's more of an adult term, isn't it? I don't know. But we need to stop. We need to stop following friends that don't follow Jesus. Number three, you need to stop looking to other sources besides Jesus. And I put this in underneath that as your first recourse. Sometimes in the decisions that we make and the directions that we go everywhere. And then we find out that those things don't work. And then what do? God, help me! If we want to know that we're being led by the Spirit of God, don't use the Lord Jesus Christ as your last-ditch effort. Number four, we need to stop solely being led by our circumstances. Something happens, oop, got to change direction. Something happens, oop, got to change direction. Something happens, got to change, got to go this way now. That's a dangerous trajectory to be on. I want to pause here for just a second because sometimes circumstances are used by the Spirit of God to give us direction and guidance. I remember Mordecai telling Queen Esther that she should go in to speak to her maniacal psycho husband about granting clemency to the Jews. And do you remember what was said in Esther chapter 4, verse 14? He looks at her and he says, you know, who knows? Maybe you've been called for such a time as this. Maybe that's what this is all about. Maybe it's not about being safe. Maybe it's about going with what God says and taking the risk. Sometimes God speaks through those kind of circumstances. 1 Kings 18. You have a desperately lonely prophet by the name of Elijah, ready to kill himself and give up. And God stepped in and spoke. He spoke hope and he spoke encouragement through a small whisper. His circumstance had changed. He was fed, and then he was spoken to. Paul in Acts 20, there was a time of fear, of facing persecution and challenges to him. And God came and prompted in his life not a desire to run, but a determination to go forward. Acts 20, verses 22 to 23. In Acts 27, Paul is on a ship, and that ship was in danger. And the Spirit of God prompted him with a reassurance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Spirit of God comes and prompts us and ministers grace to us in times of suffering and pain. Not avoiding the suffering and pain, but in the midst of them. Don't be led solely by your circumstances. You need to stop being driven by your feelings. And we've talked about this. Feelings lie. Peace is a good thing to have. Oh, I feel peace about it. I've heard people say, I remember different folks in Bible college, you know, I'm quitting school. I'm walking away from my education. But, and this was always apparently the trump card, but I feel peace about it. Oh, no, actually, they started it with, I've prayed about it and I feel peace about it. I've heard people say, you know, I feel real peace about leaving this church. The Holy Spirit actually moved me to leave here. And then I've asked, you know, why, for what reasons? And it's usually something over personality. Well, have you gone and talked to? No. You need to stop being driven by your feelings. The Spirit of God does prompt. The Spirit of God does nudge. The Spirit of God does move. And he works in here. Sometimes he works here. Most of the times he works here, which is, they're all connected. But we need to stop being driven by our feelings. Here's what we need to start. Because we also need to start something. We need to start. We need to start wanting it. Do you want to be led, guided, and directed by the third person of the triune God? Do you want it? Because it starts right here. It starts with desire. Psalm 40, verse 8, Lord, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. It's a drive of the psalmist. So you have to start wanting it, desiring it. Number two, you need to start obeying God in advance. Preemptive obedience. I really like preemptive obedience. I love that phrase. I determine ahead of time to be willing to do whatever God says. If I'm going into my walk with God with that, then I can know that I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Number three, I need to go into God's Word. That's what I need to do. I need to start. If you haven't started, start today. Because the Spirit of God does not lead us apart from the Word of God. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to guide me, a light for my path. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Isn't that a good thing to have? It's when we go and we listen to what God has said. I think we need to stop listening for voices. We need to start listening to God's voice. God's will never contradict God's word. J.D. Greer, in his book, Jesus Continued, on the life and ministry of the Holy Spirit, he says this: we are not told to seek the Spirit apart from the Word. We are to seek Him in the Word. Don't forget that. Number four, we need to start asking. Do you want to be led by the Spirit of God? Ask. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit, said Jesus, to those who ask? James chapter 4, verse 2 gives us a great principle here. It's this: you don't have because you don't ask. You ask God to lead you? Have you asked God to give you guidance and direction? I think God gives us ideas. I think God gives us promptings. I think He does a lot of that right through His Word. I think when God gives you an idea, that is the Spirit's way of directing you because, now this is going to be hard for me to put into words, because you are already going to God in His Word to be able to filter what you're thinking. So your thinking is changing because you're saturating your mind and your heart with the Scriptures. And now you come to a place where you know, God, I need your direction. I need your guidance every day I live. So I want to ask, have you asked God to guide you, to lead you today? Number five, I need to pay attention. I need to be attentive to the Spirit of God. Because He will lead you. He will prompt you. Not to do weird things or strange things or disobedient things, but things which He has already laid out in His Word. But I need to be attentive. Okay. Now we're back to the original question. I told you it was going to be a little bit of a brief detour. So, how do I know that I'm being led by the Spirit of God? Number one, we will be in obedience to the revealed will and word of God every time. Absolutely every time. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the word of God. We've been over that a lot. And he'll never contradict God's word ever. See those two words up there? Never and ever. Never and ever. He will never contradict God's word ever. Number two. We'll know we're being led by the Spirit of God when we deal with our own personal sin. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why is it that the two epistle references to being led by the Spirit are both in the context of us dealing aggressively with our own personal sin? In Romans 8, it's described as killing our flesh, killing that old Wolverine. Okay? In Galatians 5, it is described as putting off the flesh. The image of putting off a stained and a soiled garment. Have you ever wondered why being led by the Spirit is so closely associated with those two things? Because, folks, if we don't do those things, we will never be led by the Spirit of God. If we don't address those things that are a cloud between ourselves and God and a cloud between ourselves and others, the Spirit's leading will lead you directly to that. Dealing with my own personal sin, not someone else's. By the way, beware of somebody who comes up to you and says, the Lord told me, or the Spirit directed me to call you into account on something. I remember I had a guy walk into my office in Illinois. Seriously. Came in, sat down, leaned back, went like this, and he said, I really feel the Spirit of God wants me to hold you accountable. I really didn't know him. I'm thinking, huh. That's nervy. There were probably other thoughts that I had as well, which were not led by the Spirit. No, I need to be worried. I need to be concerned. Now, there are times, by the way, when our friends, people who are close to us, come alongside of us and have to call us out on things. But we know that we are being led by the Spirit of God when we deal with our own personal sin. Lastly, you ready for this one? Don't write yet. The Spirit of God does not draw attention to himself. The Spirit of God does not draw attention to himself. We know we are being led by the Spirit when we are bringing honor to Jesus Christ. We can know that we are being led by the Holy Spirit when we're in obedience to the Word, when we deal with our own personal sin, and when we seek to bring honor to Jesus Christ. Have you ever had a conversation with someone? Something was just saying to you, I need to redirect this conversation. You ever had that happen? Have you ever been burdened? There's another word. Have you ever been prompted? Have you ever been nudged? Saying, you know, I need to go talk to someone. I know friends who have been awakened at night to pray for something very specific. And what they were praying for was being played out at that moment. I can't explain it. I remember reading a story in a Billy Graham magazine of a missionary family in, I think, Zaire. And they ended up in their jeep between a herd of elephants and water. Can I just give you a little heads up? Not a good place to be, okay? And the elephants charged toward the water. They saw someone between themselves and the water, and the elephants charged toward the water. It was almost like they went like this around them. That's really unheard of. At the moment that was happening, friends back at their home church were awakened to pray for them. I can't explain that, apart from the fact that the Holy Spirit does that. Sometimes the Spirit of God is prompting you to maybe write a letter, maybe to write a word of encouragement, maybe to sit down with someone about a habit or a hang-up that this person has, and in love confront them and address them. That's care. That's what real Christian love is all about. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Have you ever had a sitting and just out of the blue, someone's name comes to your mind? Now, that's my memory, yes. I think that's also the work of the Spirit of God to prompt you, and maybe it's just to reach out. I've had people say to me, I've really been burdened by the Lord to give to such and such a ministry in the church. Have you ever had that happen to you? Or have you ever been prompted? That's what the Spirit of God does. Maybe he's prompting you to serve. Maybe here at this church. Maybe you're not serving to the capacity that you could be. Maybe not at all. The Spirit of God would prompt you maybe to serve. Maybe to start giving regularly. Have you ever been prompted to do that? Have you ever been prompted to share Christ with a friend? That's the directing, that's the prompting, that's the nudging of the Spirit of God. How about to read your Bible more consistently? To apply it more consistently? That's the nudging of the Spirit of God. So, let me ask you a question, and then we're done. Is the Holy Spirit nudging you about anything right now? If you really want to follow through on this, here's what I'd ask you to do. I'd ask you to take it and write it down. Yeah, I really need to connect with so-and-so. Write them a letter today. Write them an email today. Give them a call. You know, I've been really burdened to pray for my friend, but not only that, I want to take him out to Tim Hortons and I want to sit down, I want to go through my testimony with him. I want to talk to him about the gospel. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give you one last thing. Those promptings that come, those promptings that the Spirit of God implants in our lives and in our minds, are a blessing of his grace. They really are. The more we resist them and do nothing about it, the less they tend to come. A warning. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us, for leading us, even in ways we can't even explain. Taking this turn instead of that turn. Taking this trip, not this trip. Going through this door and not that door. Lord, we trust you and we rely upon you in your sovereignty to govern our circumstances and our situations. But Lord, we want to be attentive to the Spirit of God speaking even in those circumstances, even in our situations, even in those feelings that sometimes we just can't get a grip on, can't explain. So Lord, in those areas that you are nudging us today, help us to take action to the glory of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.